Mark chapter 5 and verse 22. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. Now move down, if you would, to verse 35. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe. And he suffered no man to follow him, save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, Why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel, and them that were with him, and entereth in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand, and saith unto her, Talitha kumai, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. Straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with a great astonishment. And he charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. Amen. And let us ask the Lord to bless us now and to speak to us as we come to study these words that we have just read. And let us pray. Our gracious God, we thank thee tonight for the power and the blood of Jesus. And Lord, we pray that the blood of Jesus will surround this tent just now. We pray, Lord, that the blood of Jesus will cover the tent. And Lord, in the name of Jesus, we rebuke the enemy. We are aware, Lord, and we're so conscious that he has many strategies and many methods to try to hinder the gospel. And yet we praise thee, Lord, this evening for the great promise of Christ. I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. O God, we thank thee that even though the enemy, even though the devil would try to come against the gospel, try to oppose the onward march of Christ, yet we thank thee, Lord, that he is defeated, and we thank thee that his plans and schemes will come to naught. O Lord, remember us this evening. Have mercy upon us, Lord. We are in need of mercy. We are in need of forgiveness, Lord. Oh, every moment of every day, we need the mercy of the Lord that comes from Calvary. Oh, Lord, remember us now, we pray, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Amen. I want us this evening to think about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the symbol of Christianity is not a crucifix. Please don't make that mistake. There are many people around today who think that the symbol of Christianity is the crucifix. The symbol of Christianity is not the crucifix, but the empty tomb. Thank God that the Lord Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. He is no longer nailed to the cross. Tragically, as we go around our country today, you will see crucifixes. You will see statues erected, statues of the Lord Jesus Christ, crucifixes of the Savior, images of the Savior, and he's still on the cross. But the Bible tells us quite categorically tonight that he is no longer on the cross. He is alive. He is risen from the dead. I want us tonight, as it were, to consider the greatest contest of all. I want us to consider the contest between the Lord Jesus Christ and death. Sonny, you can ask me your question after, okay? Thank you. So we're going to consider this greatest of all contests, the Lord Jesus Christ coming into combat with death itself. Now, those among you who are boxing fans, you will immediately prick up your ears when I mention Ali and Foreman. Muhammad Ali and George Foreman, or as it was called, the Rumble in the Jungle, back in the year 1972. And what a contest that was. And of course, poor old George Foreman ended up lying flat out on the canvas. Muhammad Ali caught him with a right hook. And that was the end of George Foreman. But what a contest that was. What a contest it is at present for those who are cricket fans between England and Australia. The Ashes. I'm sure most of the men in here tonight, and maybe some of the ladies too, like cricket. And what a great contest it is, and it looks like England might be about to retain the Ashes. Whenever I was young, there was one contest that I loved. I loved to see Big Daddy against Giant Haystacks. Now, that gives my age away, and you're saying tonight, you must have been with Noah in the ark. But that was a great contest to me, and that was the highlight of my Saturday. We didn't have a television then, but we used to go to one of our neighbours, and he lived in luxury because he had a TV. So every Saturday afternoon, guess who marched into his house to watch the wrestling? We would go in and we would watch Big Daddy against Giant Haystacks. And inevitably, Big Daddy would win. What a contest. But, of course, when we think of the Lord Jesus Christ coming face to face with death itself, that's the greatest contest of all. That's the greatest combat of all. And I want to take you tonight to four occasions when the Lord Jesus Christ encountered death. The first one we have already read tonight, Mark chapter 5. We have read of how the Lord Jesus Christ conquered death when he went to the home of Jairus. And when we think of this contest with death, we think of a father, because Jairus was the one who came to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he pleaded with the Lord Jesus Christ, and he cried out to him, and he begged the Savior to come and to raise his daughter from the dead. And the Lord Jesus Christ answered Jairus' prayers, and he went to the home, and he gave that father his desire. And I want this to be an encouragement to those fathers in the meeting tonight who have wayward children. I wonder, are you a father here this evening and you can think of children tonight and you would love them to be in this tent meeting, but they're not here because they just don't have much desire for the gospel of Christ. Well, I want you to be encouraged tonight because the Lord Jesus Christ answers the prayers of fathers. And the Savior went to the home of Jairus, and there was that little 12-year-old girl, and of course she was dead. But the Lord Jesus Christ described her as sleeping. Now, the Savior knew that she was dead. He wasn't trying to fool anybody. But he used that term. He said that she was asleep because he was going to raise her from the dead, and it was going to be so easy for him. He would just have to speak the words and she would be raised to life again. He would just have to cry out those words, Talitha kumai, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And that's all it would take for that little girl to be raised from the dead. So she, to the Savior, as it were, she was just asleep. Oh, how easy it was for the Lord of Glory for the one who is the resurrection and the life to raise that child to life. So there's the first encounter that the Lord Jesus Christ had with death, and he conquered death. And of course, before we leave that encounter, we need to say one thing. You'll notice that the Lord Jesus Christ encountered mocking and scorning. Verse 40 of Mark chapter 5, and they laughed him to scorn. You know, there are still people today who laugh the Lord Jesus Christ to scorn. And unfortunately, there are people even who have come into the meeting tonight who were inside the tent, but I'm glad they're now outside the tent. But they came in to mock and to laugh the Savior to scorn. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ can overcome the mocking and scorning of his enemies. And he will overcome it here tonight, by the way. Don't forget that he's sovereign. Don't forget that things that seem to be interruptions, things that happen during the course of the 10th mission, don't think that the Savior is taken by surprise. He's not. He knows all about it. And he will conquer over all scorning and mocking and ridiculing. And his purposes will be fulfilled. You see, these people in the house, they did what so many people today do. They laughed the Savior to scorn. But they ended up with egg on their face. Because the Lord Jesus Christ put them out, just as he has done tonight. And then he performed the miracle. Then he raised Jairus' daughter to life. What an encounter with death, and death was defeated. So that's the first encounter with death that Christ had, and we think of a father. I want to take you to the second encounter that the Lord Jesus Christ had with death. And when we look at this encounter, we think of a funeral. A funeral. Turn with me to Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7. And I want you to read with me from verse 11. Luke 7 and verse 11. And it came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain. And many of his disciples went with him, and much people. Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother. And she was a widow. And much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said unto her, weep not. And he came and touched the bier. That just means the coffin. That word bier just means coffin. So the Lord Jesus Christ came to the coffin of that young man, and he touched the coffin. And he came and touched the bier, and they that bare him stood still. And he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother. There's the second encounter that Christ had with death. And guess what? The Lord Jesus Christ defeated death once again. And here we have a funeral. And the Lord Jesus comes into this funeral. And he raises this young man to life. What an amazing incident that must have been. Imagine being part of that funeral cortege, and you're making your way to the burial ground, you're making your way to the cemetery, perhaps just like some of you have made your way to Ballyon Cemetery or to some other cemetery somewhere in the city of Londonderry, and think about it for a moment. You're on your way to the burial ground, to the grave, and the coffin's being carried. And then Jesus Christ comes along. Here we have this stranger comes along, and he simply touches that coffin. And by touching the coffin, there is virtue. There is life imparted from the Savior that flows from him to that young man and into that situation that seems so bleak and so black and so dismal, there comes hope and there comes life and there comes blessed resurrection. And of course the Lord Jesus Christ still does that today. The Lord Jesus Christ still brings hope and life and joy into situations that seem to be so hopeless. Here was a funeral, and the Lord Jesus Christ comes to the funeral, and he conquers death. So we have thought about the first two encounters that Christ had with death. And on both occasions, he comes out on top. Now let's move to the third encounter that the Savior had with death. John chapter 11 and verse 38. John chapter 11 and verse 38. And read with me if you would. John 11 and verse 38. And of course we come here to think about the raising of Lazarus from the dead. John 11 and verse 38. And when we think of Lazarus, we think of a friend. So first of all, we thought of a family. Then we thought of a funeral. And then we think of a friend. Lazarus was the friend of the Lord Jesus Christ. Read with me from John 11, verse 38. Jesus therefore again, groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and the stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Now, there is a spiritual lesson there, and we need to take note of it. You see, Martha said to the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, by this time he stinketh. That's a picture of the sinner, because the sinner stinks in the sight of a holy God. Everyone who is unrepentant, everyone who is unconverted, stinks in the nostrils of Almighty God. So dear friend tonight, if you're not saved, if you're without Christ, I want to make it clear to you, and I say it in love, tonight, as far as God is concerned, you stink. Your sin sends up a stink. Your sin sends up a stench to the nostrils of Almighty God. Now let's read on. Verse 40. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto him, loose him and let him go. Here is the third encounter that Christ had with death. And he comes to Bethany to raise Lazarus to life. And you'll notice there that the Lord Jesus simply cried 3 words. He simply spoke 3 words. Lazarus, come forth. Such was the power of Christ that he need only cry 3 words. He need only speak 3 words. And the one who was dead, the one who had been in the grave for 4 long days, came forth. And of course there is another lesson. There is an encouragement for the people of God this evening. That even though your loved ones, and even though your neighbors and your work colleagues, even though those who are without Christ that you know of, even though they have been in that state for quite some time, yet the Lord Jesus Christ has the power to bring them to spiritual life. The Lord Jesus Christ has the power to raise them from spiritual death. And then there's the lesson for those in the meeting tonight who are without Christ. And the lesson and the truth simply is this. This evening as you sit in the tent, you are just like Lazarus spiritually speaking. You are dead. As you listen to the gospel message tonight, spiritually speaking, you are a corpse. You see, dear friend, maybe here this evening, you can't get your head around what the preacher's saying. You can't understand what I'm talking about. And to be quite honest, you have no real interest in what we're talking about. And your attitude is, well, when is the meeting going to be over? Well, that is a sign that you're spiritually dead. That is a sign that you need the Lord Jesus Christ to speak life into your soul. And unless He gives you life, unless He speaks life into that dead corpse of a soul that you possess, you'll never be saved, and you'll continue to be spiritually dead, and you'll go to a lost eternity, which the Bible describes as the second death. But thank God that the good news of the gospel this evening is that we have a risen Savior who can give you life. We have a Savior this evening who has conquered the grave himself, and he can speak life into your soul. And I tell you, whenever he does that, there'll be a big difference to you. Because you'll no longer be coming into meetings thinking to yourself, when is this going to be over? I wish that he would stop preaching and let's just have the final hymn and let's just get out of here. No, no, whenever you're saved, you'll not be like that. I'll tell you the way you'll be. You'll come into the meeting, and you'll be hanging on every word. You'll be drinking it in. You'll be longing for the Word of God. You'll be longing to feed on the finest of the wheat. Because when there's life, there's hunger. Whenever a little baby is born, that little baby has got such, how can I describe it? There is such deep hunger. That little one craves for the mother's milk. And that little one longs for the mother's milk. And the little one hungers and thirsts for the milk. And whenever someone gets saved, whenever they're converted, there is a hunger for the sincere milk of the Word. I remember one preacher putting it like this. Whenever someone gets saved, you'll not have to worry about the follow-up. All you'll have to worry about is the keeping up. You'll not have to worry about following up the convert. You'll have to worry about keeping up with them. Because they'll have such a thirst and such an insatiable appetite for the Word of God. You see, for the newborn babe in Christ, there is no substitute for this book. Yes, today churches present gimmicks and entertainment and all sorts of other nonsense. But at the end of the day, nothing else will satisfy the person who has come to Christ apart from this book. And that's a sure sign that you're saved. Dear friend, if you're in the meeting tonight and you have little or no appetite for this book, chances are you're not even saved at all. You need to examine yourself. You need to get before God and let the Lord show you your need. You see, one thing that baffles me today is people who profess to be saved and yet they have little hunger to come to the Sabbath day services to hear the word of God. And they have little desire to go to the prayer meeting. You see, let me make it clear. Whenever someone is really saved, they will want to be at the house of God on the Lord's Day. They will want food for their souls. And yes, they will want to be at the prayer meeting. There is no such thing as someone saying they are saved, and yet you could count on your one hand the number of times in the year that they're at the prayer meeting. That just doesn't add up. And Scripture makes it clear that when a person is saved, when a person has been raised from the dead, just like Lazarus, raised from spiritual death, raised to spiritual life, then the one thing that will mark them will be hunger. Now let's come to the final encounter that the Lord Jesus Christ had with death. You see, we thought about a family. We thought about a father, and we thought about a funeral, and we thought about a friend. And the Lord Jesus went into all three of those situations, and he triumphed over the devil, and he conquered over death. But here's the greatest encounter of all, because the Lord Jesus went down into the depths of death himself. The Lord Jesus Christ died himself. And as it were, he went into hand-to-hand combat with death. Read with me from Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28. We have looked at the other Gospels, Mark, Luke, and John. Turn back to the first Gospel, to Matthew 28. And the Lord Jesus Christ has given his life on the cross. And let us see whether he can overcome death itself. Let us see whether he can come forth from the grave. Matthew 28, and let's read from verse 1 through to verse 6. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. Now listen to this. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said, Come see the place where the Lord lay. Hallelujah that it doesn't say, Come see the place where the Lord lies. Come see the place where the Lord lay. Oh, the wonderful reality is that the Savior has broken the bonds of death, and he has come forth from the grave, and he has triumphed over death. And here we have this final and fourth encounter that Christ had with death. And just as he did the other three times, he came out victorious. We thought about a father and a funeral and a friend. What's the fourth F? The fourth F is first. Here's a first. Because here's the first time that anyone ever raised themselves from the dead. The Lord Jesus Christ was the first one to raise himself from the dead. He was the first one who came back to life by his own power. And so I trust tonight that if we have learned nothing else, that we have learned what the symbol of Christianity is. For the symbol of Christianity certainly isn't a crucifix. Jesus no longer lies in the tomb. He is no longer upon the cross, but he has been taken down from the cross. He has been led in the tomb, but praise God, he has been raised to life again. And tonight, our Savior lives. Now, why have I gone through all that I've gone through tonight? Well, there is a reason. You see, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1 says, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins." Those of you in the meeting tonight who are without Christ, you are dead in trespasses and sins. You are as dead as a dodo. Who can help you tonight? Who can give you life? Who can give you life and life more abundantly? The one we have been preaching about tonight, the one we have been speaking about tonight, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who has conquered death, the one who has got the victory over death, he is your only hope. And if you're to be saved tonight, you must look to him. You must turn to him. Please don't turn to me, because I'm just an old, filthy, depraved sinner who has been saved by the matchless grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Don't look to any minister. Don't look to a priest. Don't look to a bishop. Don't look to any religious leader, because none of them can help you one iota. The only one who can help you, dear friend, tonight is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And dear friend, we have preached the message and the ball's now in your court. Now is your time to respond. The Lord Jesus Christ has conquered death. He went down into battle with death on 4 occasions, and he came out on top every time. And he's at the Father's right hand now, waiting to raise you to spiritual life. Let us pray.